is the man. Let's just stand. Who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. We just thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for these godly people, these people who are walking in your path. We thank you, Father, that you teach us day and night. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Your word is like honey. Your law is precious. We love your law. The law equals Torah, equals instruction. That's what law is talking about, just the instruction of the Word of God. Oh, we love the instruction of the Word of God. It is so precious. It guards us from evil. It protects us. It helps us know how to love you. Oh, how to serve you. We know because of your law. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We're so hungry. We're so hungry. Oh, we love your law. We love your word. May it become on our lips day and night. Day and night. Thank you for your instruction. Let's just speak in tongues now for just a minute. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We will not sit in the counsel of the ungodly, but we will stand with you, Jesus. We stand with you right now. We stand with the righteous ones, the heavenly ones who are looking on. We just stand and we say, you are the King. You are the glorious one that we love. What a King you are. We love you. We worship you. You're the Savior, the ruler of the universe, but yet you turn and you say, ah, look, this group up on the mountain. Oh, look. Oh, I want to be there with them right now. I am not too busy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. We just thank you for the shalom of heaven right now that's filling this room. The peace of God that passes all understanding. We bless that right now. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the angels you sent to this mountain to be around us, to surround this place, to bring things from heaven that we can only imagine. The healing power of heaven, the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, gifts and treasures from heaven. We just thank you right now. We give you glory for what you're sending. It is nothing for you to send a troop of angels. It's nothing for you to send 500 troops of angels to dance across these mountains. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're commissioning right now. We give you glory. We give you all glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Io brokoshuria. Let's just, I don't want to transition. I want us to stay in the presence all morning. And as you be seated, let's just think about who Jesus is. You know, he is the Word of God. He is the one we love. He is, think about it, the Word was from the beginning. And we've seen such an interesting thing in our society where people have just basically said the Word isn't true and they run away from the Word. And they don't even know about it. Let's just say that. And the Word of God is our instruction in righteousness. It's the only thing we have. How do you get your morals? How do you get your moral values other than through the Word of God, through the instruction of the Word of God? There's no other way. There's no other document. New or old or ancient, there's no other document like the Word of God. I had a pastor that taught us to read. I was very young, in my 20s, when I sat under this pastor. He's in heaven now. And the years that he served, he was at our church, he had read his Bible through 100 times. He hit the 100-year mark, and a 100-time mark, and he was so happy. And now, knowing what an investment that is, that's an impressive, impressive landmark. So I've been reading since then, and I'm now on 43, I think. But my goal is to make it to 100 and then further. And I don't know how far he made it before he died. I'm sure probably to 150, because he read it through 4 times a year. He broke it up into quarters. And I'm saying this because this is not being taught. So I want you to teach and teach your children. He broke it up into quarters, and he would read his Bible through entirely, front to cover, front to back, every quarter. So he read it through 4 times a year. You can do it. If I could do it with 6 kids in my house and crazy emergencies every 5 seconds, you can do it. And there's something about the Word of God that's so stabilizing. It is stabilizing. When everything else is shaking, you go, I know who I serve. He's the God who spoke the first, and he'll continue. It's precious. Every Sunday morning, we would stand and say Psalm 1. There were some mornings I would stand. We would say Psalm 1, and I would just grit my teeth through it. Because you memorize it, you know. And then we also would say Psalm 100 every Sunday morning. Precious. Now it makes me weep because I know how precious it is. It's gold. It's gold to my soul. Honey dripping down. Whoa. Thank you. Oh. Thank you. Your word is like honey dripping. Father, we just thank you right now I would just believe right now, if you want this, just put your hands out. Father, we just thank you right now for the gift of reading the word that you're sending down. It doesn't have to be just reading. It can be hearing, listening to audio, whatever. Whatever it is, get the word of God in you like never before. You know, they want to make it illegal. Well, you can't take it out of me. I have it in my house. You have to burn my house down. And it's even then it's in the foundation. It's in under the ground, under the foundation. Thank you. Thank you. So right now, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of reading and listening to the Word of God, seeing the Word of God, hearing it, doing it. We just thank you right now that it's coming down. We're going to be hungrier than we've ever been for the Word of God after this meeting. Thank you. Thank you. I can think of 100 stories after that. So let me tell you, in my house, we just redid the floors in my kitchen, dining room, living room, down the hallways, everything. And then we did redid the carpet. So I have a whole Bible in my house and under my floor. I was trying to just write it, you know, write things, you know. And then I realized, oh, it's impossible. I want the whole Word in here. And so I had an old Bible that was shredding, you know. So I just told the guys, I said, okay, I'm laying the Bible down under the floor, and it's under my floor now. Page by page. It's all across my house. And we built our house anyway, so I had already had started that whole system, and now it's really there. And then more. And then I heard a story about a piece of property. We were in Arkansas, and we were traveling, and the pastor said they bought a house on the street. They kept passing it. The husband and wife both kept passing it, and they were like, we're supposed to buy that house. We're supposed to buy that house. Well, witches had bought the house. The witches were in the house. And they bought the house. Eventually, they got it. And when they got it, they started to do some renovation because they wanted to tear out whatever they had laid down. When they tore out the walls, there was scripture everywhere. That was the insulation. I bet that was so ineffective for those poor ladies, you know, poor witches, you know, whatever. You poor things. Oh, isn't his word so good? I am just soaking in that, boy. That's so good. All right. Thank you, Lord. You know what? When we were in Israel, we happened to be there on Rosh Hashanah, which is where you celebrate the Word of God. And Simchat Torah. No, it's Simchat Torah. Well, it was, no, it was Sukkot. I'm sorry. Sukkot first, and then it's Simchat Torah right after. And so what Simchat Torah is celebrating the Word of God. So every congregation gets the biggest Torah that they have, and they come out in the street and dance with it. And everybody's singing, and I stood watching and taking pictures, just weeping. I'm like, I want to celebrate the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's life to me. It's life to me. Oh, my goodness. So one day we will all be doing that. We will be worshiping and dancing with the Word of God. I do it anyway. Don't you grab your Bible and just dance with it? Sleep on it. Sleep. It's a great pillow. Oh, my goodness. I love the Word of God. Okay, let's do dreams. Because dreams are manna from heaven. So we were telling the story last night. Because when we were at Sid Roth, we just had a crazy experience. It was so much fun. And Sid Roth is the real deal. I want you to know. The man is solid as a rock, and he is so focused on his destiny and his calling. He is like all in. We love this man. He loves the Jew. He loves he's all about getting the Jew, getting the word to the Jew. Precious. And so anyway, so when we're recording, and this is not in the recording, so if you haven't seen the recording, it's in the archives. But in the middle of that recording, Sid asks me the question, what do you do if you can't remember your dreams, or you don't catch your dream, or you forget it right away when you wake up, or you just don't dream and you don't remember, whatever. So I said, well, a dream, and this came straight from heaven. So I said, a dream is like manna from heaven. You get it. And remember in the Old Testament when they were traveling through and they were eating manna for 40 years, they were eating fresh bread from heaven, which is Jesus. Jesus is the fresh bread from heaven. He is the bread of life. He is the bread. He's the Word. And remember when that fresh bread or that manna would come down, if they didn't pick it up, it disappeared. Same thing with a dream. That fresh word from heaven comes down. If we don't pick it up and remember it, write it down, keep track of it, it disappears just like that. So that was edited out, I'm sure because of time, but it was so funny that I got done and I'm like, Jesus, I wrote the whole book and you didn't tell me that? You didn't bother to tell me that? So I could put it in the book? But anyway, so that was the side that you get. We were reminding ourselves of that last night. That was so powerful. But that was such a fun experience, the whole thing, front to back. It was a blast. Okay, let's go to the first slide. Otherwise, I won't get through this. Why does God use dreams to speak to us? First of all, your body's asleep, right? And your body slows down, and your brain goes to sleep, which is excellent. You know, the Lord, remember when God cut covenant with Abraham? He said, Abraham, go to sleep. And Abraham passed out, and God did the whole thing, covenant, everything, because Abraham was asleep. Now, I believe Abraham knew what was going on. But he wasn't not in his flesh. He didn't know. He was sound asleep. And sometimes that's how the Lord is with us. He's like, lay down, go to sleep so I can talk to you. You know, if I have something that is bugging me or if I have a problem come up, I'll go take a nap. Go take a nap till I get my peace back. Either I'll get peace back or I'll get a dream. And I love that. Not always, and I don't always get a dream, but I will rest until I get my peace back, until I'm not listening to what the enemy wants to say. All the distractions are gone, and God has my full attention, and all my arguments are gone. My arguments go straight out the window because I am hearing straight from God. And that's why when you get a dream so many times, it's, you know, I woke up this morning because of Janet dreaming or praying. Yeah, Janet praying for us to dream last night. I woke up straight. I mean, when I dreamed it, I just got woke straight up. I was like, whoa, okay, here we go. And then I thought about the dream, but I thought I'm going to wait until the emotion's not there. So that's what you do a lot of times with a dream. If there's a lot of emotion tied to it, the Lord created your emotions. He created your imagination. He created all that, right? Did the devil create any of that? No. What about your dream? Do you think the devil creates? Does the devil create anything? No. He is a liar and a deceiver. And does he trespass? Yeah, he might trespass on your dream. But God is the ultimate. I believe every beginning of every dream comes from God. And if we've left something open, there's sometimes the enemy can get in on it. But even the nightmares, and we'll talk about this, even nightmares, I can't even think of a nightmare that didn't come from Jesus. And we'll give you the scripture behind that. Believe it or not, yes. Okay, so that's why it's so important. But if emotion wakes you up in a dream, know that the Lord gave you that key so that you would remember what you just dreamed. How many of you just have wonderful dreams and you don't remember one thing? Oh, I remember I was somewhere doing something, but I can't remember a thing about it, right? Oh, and so the Lord knows that, and so he allows an emotion to be tied to it, so we'll remember it, so it'll click in our brain. All right, God has our full attention. Okay, next slide. In a dream, in a vision at night, when you are deep in sleep, God opens your ears and impresses you with warnings to turn you back from something you are planning, from some reckless choice you're about to make, and to keep you from an early death. What a gift. Just from Job 33, 15 through 18. What a gift from heaven. What else is going to preserve your life if God doesn't do it? Who has life and death in their hands? Does the enemy have life and death in his hands? No. God has life and death in his hands. And so I give God all the credit. You know what? We've been taught, you know, to give the devil credit. He gets none. When I'm in foreign countries, one of the things that they teach is your dreams are from the devil. No, your dreams are not from the devil. Your dreams are from Jesus. Boy, once you tell the pastors clear back in the bush, your dreams are from God, all of a sudden they begin to look through new eyes, new perspective at their dreams. Instead of dreading everything, they're like, oh, you mean Jesus is talking to me every night? Yes, he is. All right, and we'll clarify that as we go. I love that I have lightning on that. I just realized I have lightning on that. So I'm going to tell all dreams. I want to tell a story because I want you, because we're at the beginning of this retreat, and we just had another retreat last week that we spoke at, and I want to tell this story again because it's so powerful, and I want you guys to even grab in on this, and you may have opportunity. We were at Estes Park last week doing a conference for some precious ladies that we love. And I had been at Estes Park three or four years earlier at the writers' conference. And something happened at that writers' conference that I want to tell you about. So I was at the writers' conference. We're up on a high place, which is where Estes Park is, kind of like this, but I think that's maybe a little bit lower. Anyway, by the way, drink water. I will not hit anybody who needs water. Please get it, because you are in a very high place here, and you must have water. You'll dehydrate and not realize it. I've done it. So anyway, we're up at this, and I had been listening to John Paul Jackson, who is a brilliant man of God, dreamer, prophet. He's in heaven now, as many of you know. John Paul Jackson had said, here's the assignment, because I was doing his school at that time, and he said, here's the assignment. I want you to grab a notebook, a pen, and a Kleenex box. Sit down with the Lord for 1 hour, write, unedited, for one full hour. Ask the Lord, what's on your heart, Lord? I'm going to write it for 1 hour. Okay, so I'm at a writer's conference. I actually had an hour. I went and sat down in my room, and I thought, I'm going to write for an hour. And I thought, I don't need a Kleenex box. You know, forget it. So I sat down, got my pen and paper out, and asked the Lord, Jesus, what's on your heart? And I just began to write, unedited. Do not be surprised what comes through that pen, and don't take away, okay? So I began to write. I think I wrote 3 lines, the first 2 of which were shocking. I was like, and then the 3rd line had the 2 words at the end, fire camp. And when I wrote the words fire camp, a lightning bolt struck right outside my window. I threw my pen. You can see on my paper, my fire camp, boom. And I hit the floor, began to weep, cry out to the Lord, God, what are you doing? And as soon as I could collect myself back, I'm shaking, and I sat back down and wrote for the rest of that hour, weeping, grabbed the Kleenex box, weeping before the Lord. By the way, there was not one more lightning strike that day. There was no more lightning. That was the only lightning strike. Shocked me. But that moment and that writing, and without editing, has shaped what has happened in my life. And honestly, I didn't go back to it very much. I went back and read it, and I was like, oh, some of it's come true, some of it hasn't. But it was shocking what has come true. I'm like, wow, that's just off the page. It's crazy. So I want you, while you're here, if you get the time just to be by yourself and shut yourself away, what a crazy place to do this at. Don't expect a lightning bolt, but do expect the presence of the Lord. I wasn't expecting anything like that. You know, sometimes the Lord does speak through something shocking. But sometimes it's gentle, still, smart, quiet voice. I told the story last Sunday morning when I was introducing Holly and Lori, that morning we had had a wedding for my daughter that last Saturday. I've had the craziest schedule this month, and continue. That morning, I had got up, and I knew all of our family had said goodbye the night before, and they said, we're going to just hop in the vehicles and get back. We all have to get back. So everybody, all our family, I knew, was already probably on the road. But I woke up about 5:30, and I got up, and I said, Lord, what do you want to do? And he said, go make breakfast. And I said, oh, well, there's just a couple of us in the house. I'll make breakfast. I'll make a big breakfast. So I went to the store, got everything I needed, came back, started making a big breakfast for 2 people. It's kind of silly. But lo and behold, here comes family, 3 or 4 in the family. And they were like, we got up earlier than we thought. We just thought we'd come by. And I said, well, guess what? I have breakfast for you. Now, that's hear, that's just as much hearing from the Lord as a lightning bolt, right? We have to hear the still, small, quiet voice of the Lord and recognize the lightning bolt. they're hard to miss, right? But we really want to hear the still, small, quiet voice. I still want to hear my dreams. They're quiet, right? They're in the night. They're quiet. Nobody's around. It's not public. All right. So all dreams have a message, and we want to look at it through those glasses. Oh, I have this dream. It has a message for me. I need to have... Now, some of our dreams do have corporate messages, right? Or even national messages to pray. Perry Stone right now is having amazing dreams. I just saw a message that he got another wild dream this morning. So praise the Lord, or whenever he had it. So praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for dreams that are corporate for our nation or for... But 90% of our dreams, probably closer to 99%, are for us. And we need to look at it through those glasses first. We're always going to look to God for the interpretation. So if the devil gives you a dream, can you go to him for interpretation? That was the biggest bolt of clarity I got on that whole issue. I was like, so you go to the author of whatever it is, the invention, you go to the inventor to figure out how these work, right? I can't go to the devil to ask him how a dream works because he's going to lie to me. Am I right? Who wants to expose the enemy's plans, God or the devil? Huh? The devil or God. God wants to expose, not the devil. The devil's not going to show you nothing, right? He's like, I've got plans, but man, I'm not showing them. And God's like, here they are. Here they are. Here's the blueprint, right? That's why you can have a terrifying dream and wake up knowing full on you need to see this through God's eyes. Okay? Okay. The Word was first. Everything was created through Him. Not one thing came into being without God. Next one. For everything, absolutely everything, this is Colossians 1, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything starts in Him. We've been lied to a lot because there's that whole thought process is, oh, the devil does this. Oh, the devil does this. Oh, the devil does that. No. Everything got started in God. And somewhere along the line it got perverted, but we want to give credit to the Lord who created it. And Lord, you show us the perfect way. You show us the true answer. You show us the strategy against the enemy. And finds purpose. And what's your purpose in showing me this, Lord? What is it? Okay, next. Let's do it next because we're going to just do this. Okay, one more. What about nightmares? Oh. Should we just do a dream first? Let's just do a dream first. Not a nightmare. Let's just do a dream.
We're not afraid of nightmares.
It's so redeeming. Oh, it's crazy. I have heard this taught so many times that was my big question mark actually when I started writing the book. I was like, God, this doesn't seem right because every nightmare we have come in to fire camp, we've trained a bunch of kids across Colorado, across the United States now, and even in other countries, how to interpret their dreams, but also how to hear the voice of God. All of those things. We train lots of people, lots of kids, which is awesome. Yeah, the kids are amazing. Yes, Susie, you were at the fire. Wasn't that powerful? It's so amazing to hear a kid's dream because they are accurate and the dream book. There's tons of dreams. Most of them are from kids, but it's because they're pure motives. There's no agenda behind them, and they're easy to interpret. So we want to do the kids. We love the kids. In the last days, God said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will have visions." Other way around, your young men will have dreams, your old men, other way around. anyway, but it means all of us, right? It's not man, woman, male, female, whatever. It's not old, young. It's all of us, the generation. You're never too old, you're never too young, right? And there's a lot of us that think, oh, I'm too old for that. Oh, I'm too young for that. I tell you, the older generation is getting way more, it's almost as shocking as the babies. So, yeah, dive in.
Doesn't matter. We are all on the same. I believe that all of us who are alive now are all of this generation. And it affects all of us. So if he's pouring out his spirit on this generation, which I believe he is, then it affects all of us. We all have that opportunity to participate. So what we need when we are looking for a dream, let me give a little bit of protocol here. When we're looking for a dream, we want about a 30-second or less, even a 15-second dream. We want a very short dream. The long ones are for other times, but we want, and they're very important, write them down. But for demonstration, we just need a short dream, very short. So does anybody have a dream? Especially, let me ask you this real quick. How many of you dreamed last night? Praise the Lord. That's phenomenal. That's really good. Okay, short dream. Put your hands up again, whoever would like to share. Honey, would you come? Yeah, with a striped shirt. Come on up, because we'll want to pray for you too. So, thank you, hon. How's your foot today? Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch out your hand right now. We thank you for the healing power of Jesus right now that's in the room. I just want to say something. Blake Healy, in this book, The Veil, which I didn't bring up here, but there's a book back there called The Veil. Okay. And one thing that he says is every single time, he said he's seen angels and demons since the time he was a baby, or very young, as long as he can remember. And I'm double miking. Magnify this, Jesus. Anyway,
this is the veil.
This is the veil, yeah. And what he says is, he says, whenever we are praying, he said he realized one day, because he sees these all the time, he gets used to the angels and Jesus, Holy Spirit, everybody being around all the time. So he said, whether we have 1,000 people in the room and everybody's lining up and we're praying for everybody, or we have one person, we ask the Lord for healing power, guess what? Jesus always shows up. Never one time. He said never one time did either a healing angel or Jesus himself show up. So I want you to begin to look at healing with new confidence. And so we just say, yes, in Jesus' name, we thank you that the healing power, and that goes for everybody in the room. It's abundant. It's abundant. It flows like oil through this, like a river through this room right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Okay, just a quick one. This was about a month ago.
It was about a month ago. Okay.
And it takes place in one room. This was in a condo that I owned years ago. And I'm looking out, I'm in the living room, looking out the window. And out the window, there was a walking trail. But in the dream, there was a large body of water on the other side. And as I'm looking out the window, I notice the water level's high. And then I look back again, and it's higher, and I thought it's going to overflow. And then all of a sudden, it starts to overflow a little bit, and I thought, this is going to be a problem. It's probably going to overflow a lot. And then over on the left, it started to really overflow. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what you call these things that hold a deck up, a piece of wood out on the end. One of those gave way. And I was up on the fourth floor. I lived on the fourth floor, so in the dream, I'm higher up. And all of a sudden, the whole building started to lean forward. And I thought, I better pull the furniture back to kind of level out the building. So thinking that there are some chairs here, so I'm going to pull them back to this side. So then all of a sudden it came back, and I think a couple people walked in the door, and I said something to them that, you know, we're going to have a problem here. This is going to be something, you know, this building could fall over. So then it went forward again and then back, and I thought, okay, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get my papers. And I always, it's funny that it comes up in dreams. I don't realize that I make such a big deal out of this. But my papers are my prayers and my dreams. And I always kind of, I have a little carry-on, and that's what's in your trunk right now, I think, of your car. And I kind of always have them with me because I have never felt safe in my home. My parents and my family always come in and go through things. So I always feel like I've got to leave my, have my, my
precious
stuff.
To you.
That's it.
That
so
is a powerful
and
awesome.
I don't.
Okay, Janet, okay. You have, stay here, because we're going to, that is a powerful, powerful dream.
Okay.
Okay.
I have this one, so.
Pray. We might need it, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so good. Go ahead.
So I just want to say a couple things starting. When we interpret dreams, because we'll teach as we're doing this. Yeah. When we interpret dreams, we always look at it through the eyes of the Bible. It's got to be biblically interpreted. So that's how we don't go to any other sources. We don't go to the internet and just look up things. Other than we can Google something to learn or, you know, search something out like in animals, like, you know,
the characteristics
of those things. Okay, so I just want to start there.
Yeah, and this book has a 3,000 metaphors, and they all tie to the Word of God. This is how we've trained ourselves. This is a training tool. It's not the thing that you just always want to run to every time. However, while you're learning, it's such a tool to learn. We have to have them, so this is it. And we'll explain that more.
So what is your name?
Sue.
Yeah, I met you last night. Forgive me. When you were telling your dream, I actually, it was like I could see the whole thing. And I bet some of you guys did, right?
Yeah.
And understood the dream. Did you understand the dream?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, and that's so good to picture it and see it all.
Let me make the point that how did Jesus teach when he was on this earth?
Parables.
Word pictures, right there, parable. Okay, that's right.
And then she underlined it at the end with how she grew up in her family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's always pieces and parts that we don't see in a dream, especially if we're interpreting. I go into the jail. I don't know their stories. So I have to get the pure download in order to get that. And the Lord, he'll do that in the jail and when you're on the streets, you know. He'll do that for you because this tool is so important to use because of it's such an evangelism tool.
Yes, the best.
And so we want to underline that. And that's why, you know, we want to understand dreams. We want to have that spirit of Daniel who understands
Amen.
The mysteries and the
Amen.
Because those things we can actually share. So when we start to interpret a dream, what we have to do is repeat the dream. And hopefully, I didn't talk too much that I forgot half of it. So which I do. So I'll repeat the dream.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So in the dream, you were in the condo that you actually live in the natural, but you were lived in years ago, and you were on the fourth floor, because that's where you lived, okay? And when you looked out the window, you saw water, and the whole outside the window was water, and it began to rise. You were watching it rise, so it was going to become a problem. You knew it was going to become a problem. And then the building began to sway.
One of the pylon, is it pylon? Pylon, yeah. Okay.
Broke away.
Ooh. I'm looking back at Rick, who's a builder. Is that right, a pylon? Okay.
Yeah. And then the furniture started to shift. So you thought, okay, if I move the furniture over, it maybe even out the building. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
Dreams are awesome.
And let me see. Now I lost the rest.
Okay, so she pulls it back, and then somebody comes through the
door. Oh, the two people.
Yeah.
Ooh. Two people come walking through the door. Yeah, two people come walking through the door.
That's good.
And
okay, so they come through the door, and she's like, she said, well, it happened again. The building leaned forward again, and then you said, we're going to have to, this is a problem, and you grab your papers, which are very dear to your heart, and then you take off out, or was that the end?
It ended before I could leave.
Okay. Okay, ended before she could leave the room. Okay. That's really a good dream.
When did you have this dream?
Maybe a month ago.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Another thing to pay attention to in dreams is the emotion in the dream. Okay, so what was your emotion?
I would think maybe some fear and concern.
Right. Right. Your building's going to fall.
Yeah.
That's common, yes. Okay.
Okay. Go
ahead. Whatever. Go ahead. You can start at the beginning.
Okay, so we'll just look at the different metaphors in the dream. Let's just talk about the metaphors. Looking out a window in a dream can be a gifting where you're seeing in the spirit because you're looking out. It could be a prophetic gifting, could be, or it could be the Lord just, I'm going to show you what's going on, okay? So,
the building.
Okay, well, buildings, I want to tell you this one dream I heard in jail because this woman I didn't know of, obviously, grew up in the Mormon faith. And she was still Mormon when I met her. And she saw a building kind of collapse with a water come and collapse. And she was able to rescue some people out of it, but she didn't see her mom be rescued. She saw her mom wanting to go back in. And the Lord downloaded right away. It's the religious system
Church.
In your life. The religious system is coming down. You're going to be rescued out of it. She accepted Jesus. Bam! Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. It was so quick. It was, and usually, she knew that, because when a dream is interpreted, what it'll do is it'll hit your spirit and you'll know that you know. Oh, that's what it is. So she knew. Ooh, that's what it is, you know. And so so it's easy. Yeah.
So the building was religious?
No.
Yes, in the dream,
in
the building
dream.
Was
in that dream. Right.
So it's not necessarily in this dream.
Right. The building can be your heart. It can be your home. It was her home in this, you know.
It can be what you've been established in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's built. Her life has been, she lived there. This is a place she lives. So she was established. I think it's interesting it was on the fourth floor. Yeah, four means something.
Rule and reign.
Yeah.
It can be. Yeah,
it can
north,
be.
Northeast, southwest, directional. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Day mm-hmm. four. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so uh-huh. we look at all of that,
mm-hmm.
and it'll all come together.
Right.
And then the water, she saw the water rising, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So water, and it began ankle deep. Well, where do we see that in the Word of God?
Well, she didn't say ankle deep.
Well,
but
it was low, and then it's, well,
then it
it's
began
the
to
same.
Right.
So we
right.
look at what, where do we see that in the Word?
Ezekiel.
Right. Ezekiel 47, isn't
yeah.
that right? I think it
I
is
know
47.
I
think
I'm in the right book. I know.
Right. So, and what is that in when the water's rising? What is that in Ezekiel? What is that representing? And so, where we're going to look at that and
does
how
anybody know what is it? Spirit of God.
Oh, the Holy
rising.
Spirit.
Holy
rising.
Spirit rising. Yes.
Rising.
Okay.
And when Holy Spirit comes into your life. Are things shaken? Are things moved? Are things, right?
Are some of the old pillars taken out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Old
yeah.
pylons.
So
out?
Your world, as he says in Hebrew, I'm going to shake everything that's going to be shaken. And the things that are not of God are going to fall. They're going to fall. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
so this may be going on in your life. Is that true? Yeah. So
yeah.
I love, though, that two people came in. And, you know, I'm just going to say this, and I'm glad they're not here. Holly and Lori, when I met them, they actually, there was such a, I was so wounded in my life when I met them. And the Holy Spirit was brought in. I didn't know. I was just raised in, well, I was raised in the Catholic Church, so I didn't know anything. And I got saved, actually, when I was 40. And even though I was in the church all my life, I got saved when I was 40, okay? And then I met the person of the Holy Spirit when I was in the meeting with Holly. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And because this is a recent dream, and Sue is here now,
And let's ask about those two people. Did you recognize them, or did you know who? Did you have any? Did you have any? Yeah, I need the whole micro. I need the hog. Did you have any? Did you have any thoughts on who these people were?
No, but I think I probably recognized them because of the way I talked to them. I think I probably knew who they were.
Okay, was it but man, when I woke up, male or female? Did you catch anything like that?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't know, because they came in the door that was right behind me.
And the door was open.
I was just staring forward.
Right.
And because really on the, if I look out the window, there was a walking trail, and there
was
no
walking trail.
There was no water over there in real life, but in the dream, it was a good sized body of water.
Right, a good sized body of water. We didn't talk about the walking trail, but you know the way we walk out our life a lot of times can be a walking trail.
Because it's coming over. It's going
and
to come over.
And he makes our path
trail.
Straight.
He
you
makes
know,
our
he
path
makes
straight. So.
Sounds like war is very important.
Yeah. The first three floors may be flooding, and she may be up high, right? Possibly. Now, did you see the water in the building?
Real life again. Oh,
I'll just let you.
Okay. There'd be a parking lot out in front, and there were train tracks at one time. They turned into a walking trail. So the trail is up here, and then there are homes up the side of the hill. But there was a body of water out there in the dream, and it's coming over the walking trail, which means it's going to come down. And my concern was that all that water is going to make the ground soft underneath,
right.
And
it can come forward.
It's going to the building's going to fall over.
That's really good. So your pillar was already came loose.
Yeah.
And yeah. Or your pylon.
Okay.
That was good.
So what I'm seeing is these your hopes are in unstable foundation. The building itself is not where your hope should be. The people aren't even where your hope should be. So you go to the thing that's most important to you, which were your writings and the things that really gave
that
you a stable foundation. That's where the dream ended.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
or your interpretation of it anyway. I don't know.
My home has always been what's most important, my stability. And the Lord has moved me constantly in the last 3 years. And now, the dream was about a month ago, and the woman I was living with passed away. And so now I'm in her house on this big orchard taking care of the property. But now the house is for sale, so I have to move again. So it's interesting you say that, because in my family, the home and the presentation of the home is very important. So what's kind of been number one in my life right now is I want to get my things out of storage, and I want my home. So here in the dream, yeah, my home is falling over. So maybe saying you're putting your a lot of hope and a lot of energy into something that really isn't.
Can be on shaking ground. Susie, what do you say?
The papers are
right, right.
And so it's just more on that. Galatians 4:4 talks about when the heir is a child, you know, that the inheritance comes with the fullness of time. So we've always had the inheritance through Holy Spirit, but when we're as an heir, when we're a child, you know, we're growing up, and then there's the fullness of time and of maturity. And that's Galatians 4:4.
They're four floors. Did you catch that? If you get a four that's repeating too in a dream, a number that's repeating, you pay really close attention, because it could be a scripture just like that. Galatians 4:4. She was on the fourth floor. So something I want you to think about is these two men who are people who walked through the door. She didn't see who they were, but she knew. Now that can be Jesus and Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
can be very much obviously. Especially because the water is rising, and we started to say,
and the Spirit and the Word,
Spirit and the Word, can be the water rising, and we know the Spirit is rising. And I actually, did you have anything else? Because I want to burst.
Well, I was thinking about the papers, too.
Okay.
And, you know, paper is made from wood. And wood can represent our flesh. But, you know, God gave us our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Our soul is really important to God. We can, you know, say, oh, this is flesh. But it's important to God.
It is.
And those...
She said it was her dreams.
Yeah, and your dreams. They're all valuable.
Yeah. And that scripture we read this morning was, you will be like a tree, and that's where paper
right.
comes from, planted tree. By the rivers of water.
And so so all of that, you know, the papers and her dreams, she took that out. Even, you know, when the place is being shaken, her life's being shaken, all of this. Oh, we forgot one thing, trying to move the furniture.
Yeah.
Okay, places where you can sit, any place where you're parking it, can be a picture of, again, your heart or your authority, where you're sitting in. You're sitting in the places of authority. But I sense, because she was trying to move this, trying to get this back into place so the whole building wouldn't fall, it could be areas of her life where the issues in her life, in her heart, that she's trying to get in place so this whole thing doesn't tumble. Does that make sense
to you? Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of said that before. Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to cover kind of the metaphors in there.
So.
Oh, wait. We've got a couple hands.
Okay,
a
couple
up.
Of hands. Okay, let's go ahead.
This is good because I'm really glad because you guys are catching it
you
right
are
away.
Catching it, yeah.
Because if you know the word, you catch it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, there's that.
This is a quickie overview question, and it's just like, your dreams tend to be based somewhat in reality, generally. I mean, there's some things that are real.
Yeah, Jesus will talk to you.
There's some things that deviate from what you
right.
know is reality. And like she was saying, she actually...
Oh, stay there, Jim.
Jim,
come back.
Hey, we're recording. You gotta.
She actually lived in a building like this years ago, and it was actually on the
right.
fourth floor, right? So my question is, when that is true in a dream... I guess you just ask the Lord, but it doesn't always necessarily have to have more meaning because it was the fourth floor, because that's actually part of the memory.
True. Can be. Wait, was your house on the fourth, or
yeah,
was your
fourth.
Apartment on the fourth
yeah.
floor? Okay. Can be. But if it's highlighted in a dream, the Lord may be saying something. So you don't want to disregard those details. It can be very important. So, good point.
Okay. So I could be wrong, but what I'm seeing from what she said is that her home has been very important to her. And she tried first to save what she could. She tried to fix the home. But suddenly she realized there's only one thing I really care about. There's only one thing that I really care about, and it has to do with God. It's God that I'm going to take with me.
Right.
And because that was what I feel is the message, she woke up.
That's
the point.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this home is not going to support me. It's not going to take care of me. It's not what I need.
Yeah.
What belongs to God
Amen.
Is what I need,
that's
and I'm
right.
going.
Amen.
And I'm taking it with me.
Amen. That's
so
right.
That was.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
I have one question for Sue. Did you leave the home with your papers with the two people?
No, I never
okay.
did. The dream stopped.
Here.
Oh. The dream stopped at that point. And I even have two dogs. And kind of in the back of my mind a bit, I was maybe thinking about the dogs just for an instant, but it was the package of the dreams and the prayers. I said, I've got to go. And these, I just had a short conversation with these people. I said, you know, this is going to go, or this is, you know, we have to do something here. And then it stopped.
That's so
good.
Good.
That's really good.
So
great
good.
Questions, by the way. Yeah.
You guys,
yeah,
a couple
good.
More.
Yeah, there's
okay.
one. Carol.
So in keeping with the flow of that interpretation, I had seen the men, or people, as another offering of what you could turn to.
Yeah.
And she did not turn to. That's why I didn't see them as Holy Spirit or anything. But if they'd been Holy Spirit and Jesus or something, I believe they would either have been to the front of her, because back, like back doors and things, tend to represent the past.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was looking forward.
So
and that's the future.
Tell us what door they came through.
Well, through the front door. There's only one front
so
door. It was the front of my neighbors across the way.
Right. Okay.
But
so
it was, but you said when you described the dream that you were facing in a different direction.
She was looking through the things
facing
of the
out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not toward the door is what I'm saying.
Yes. Right.
Yes,
so
that's
why Jesus can come in as the help.
Oh,
and
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Help.
But
right.
I think she would have
right.
turned to them then, because that would have
possibly.
Been.
Possibly. But you know how sometimes the dream will end before you know who that is.
Sure.
In fact, a lot of times, and I want you to, this is excellent because I want you to pay attention. Jesus will show up in your dreams a lot. And Holy Spirit tends to turn up in my dreams as a female, and I never see his or her face. And I don't want you to get messed up on that, because Holy Spirit has a lot of female, you know, comfort, nurture, all teacher, all of those things that we attribute to a female. Doesn't mean Holy Spirit, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, she's in my dreams, I'll see a skirt, and I barely will see above here. And it's usually, you know, I can't see, but I know it's Holy Spirit, because typically she'll hand me something. And so Holy Spirit can show up that way. How does Jesus
but
shows
you,
up
here's
a lot
the
of
thing
ways.
Also, it can be many layers.
Yeah.
So the number four can be many layers, can take
right.
you into the scripture, because
so
that
person.
Word would comfort,
mm-hmm.
absolutely bring comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And also... It doesn't. It can be the word in the spirit. It
mm-hmm.
can be turning away from things.
Right.
You know, this is the whole thing with dreams is engaging with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have a dream, we're going to ask. We're
right.
going to just begin to ask. What is it? I mean, like any, he's a person.
Yeah, he's a person.
So, and so I go, I need to know this now.
Right.
You know,
right.
I need to know what you're
right.
saying.
Yeah.
So, and here's the other thing. We don't always get the full interpretation that day, that week, that year.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I had a dream 10 years ago
yeah.
that I am seeing on play right now
yeah.
in my life. Well, it was actually a governmental thing. It was, mm-hmm. like, really intense.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand it at first. I thought I did. I went and got help, and you know. But the Lord uncovers things, and so these dreams, there's so many layers, just as there is in the Word. I will never forget Holly saying once about the room in heaven with the books, and each book was one scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that right? One scripture, and can you imagine the depth?
Mm-hmm.
Of that one scripture that this huge book is written about. Well, it's the same thing. When God speaks, there's so many layers that he wants to release. And so we can take that dream, and it is like a treasure,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
So we it doesn't have to mean one thing.
That's
we don't
right.
limit God.
No.
We never limit God.
No. And so you may have multiple. So I don't want you to shy away from having multiple. I want to just go ahead and pray for you, because so we can go ahead and move forward and do another dream.
We just had one.
I would, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, one thing that we haven't addressed that much is moving the furniture. And to me, what I'm seeing is control, trying to keep things as they were. But then she realized...
Well, she was trying to balance out.
No, I know what she
house.
Was trying to do,
right.
but that's still, we're trying to control our situation.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't able to do that.
Right.
And that's what God does to us. He shakes what he can shake
right.
so that he can move us to where he wants to take us.
And he can bring us into balance.
Yeah.
But
she also knew the place to go with the paper.
Uh-huh.
But there's also something that you remembered is how your folks treated you.
Mm-hmm.
Which God would want you to leave in the past.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, so I just want to pray.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just actually sense this is a revival happening in your life because the water's rising. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for our sister. We thank you, Lord, that she's a revivalist in her heart. She's seeking after you, Lord. She is positive, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Father God, you are with her, and you are with her in her life. But this dream actually highlights this even more. Father, right now, we just thank you for her heart. We thank you, Lord, that she's looking around and she's looking out things, the window, the things of the Spirit. She's engaging with the Holy Spirit, and she's watching the water rise down below. And although that looks fearful, it's also, we know, it's revival, and the Holy
yeah.
Spirit and the ability to hear and see things of the Spirit is rising in her life. Father, we thank you that sometimes that looks a little bit fearful, but Lord, we know that you're in it. We thank you, God, that we can say, you know what, Jesus, I don't care what happens. I know that you are in this and you have this. You have the, you have my home. You have my heart. You have the place that I'm going. You have my furniture. You have everything that I need. And I'm going to be content. I'm going to be satisfied with the word of God. And I will be a tree planted by the rivers of water. And in the, this season, I will not lose my way. I will not lose my leaves. I will not lose my what you produce in me, what you're getting ready to produce in me. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the dreams and visions. And we thank you, Lord, that that is actually what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That you have held those things dear to your heart. And the Lord is pleased. You didn't turn around and say, I'm going to grab wealth. You said, I'm going to grab what the Lord has given me.
Yeah.
And so we bless that in my sister's life. We thank you, Lord, that she is fully focusing on what you are giving her. And we just give you praise and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon her. Yes, that's precious. Oh, my goodness. That's a powerful dream. Yeah, and just know that it's not necessarily our interpretation that you'll get, but you're going to get pieces from that. And what the Lord settles in your heart is what it is. All right? Okay, because that's how each of us have to do. What the Lord settles in our heart, what we gain from that, that's what it is. Now, I always get, you know, other interpretations, and I'm always thinking, okay, well, I remember this, and I want to learn from it. Lord, if you want to show me something. All right. I did think of something. Does anybody have a question while we're in the middle of this? Anybody else have a question about dreams and dreaming things in the night? Okay. Okay. Yes? Bernadine. Would looking out a window be the same as looking out a door? Great question. So looking out a window, obviously we know a window is typically shut. We can open a window, but a lot of times it has a screen on it. So it's not like an all the way open. But a door opens, right? So if you have a door in the dream, and that's why I asked her, I said, was the door open or
yes,
shut?
Yes, it was open.
Yeah, so she said, obviously I didn't open the door.
Doors can represent opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open a door, you could be opening, you know, walking into a new opportunity.
Right.
Or, you know, so it's a little different. I don't know who asked the question. It was, oh, there you
Bernadine,
are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hi, Bernadine. So it's a little different because, you know, when you look out a window, there's actually glass, and so you're seeing into the spirit. When you open a door, that could
there's
be
an opening.
Open
sometimes,
opening.
And doors, many times windows are sealed, is what I was trying to say. They're sealed, and we can see things, but we don't typically walk through a window, right? We walk through a door. So one time, Bill Johnson, I just brought this dream up, was standing at a podium, and I was looking at him through a glass door. And that's the other thing. Pay attention to all the details in your dream, because the glass door, I could see him clearly, and I knew I was hearing him. And I felt like it was an open door, but I didn't walk through it that I remembered. I just knew it was open. I could go through it if I wanted to. At the time, I was stunned, and I was talking to other people outside, and so I didn't walk through it in the dream. So, okay. And I want to hear what Jesus says. I don't want to hear what my own thoughts are about, you know, I don't want to change the dream. I want to hear what Jesus said about what was going on in that dream. So we have two more questions. Okay.
Sometimes we need to take into account what is our emotions, because sometimes that's
right.
Shared.
Right. Right. But we don't want our dreams to be, you don't want to interpret a dream by your emotion. Okay. So, and that we'll talk about that just a little bit more in fear. So we will talk about that. Do you have a question?
My question is, I rarely remember my dreams. Maybe
right.
We all dream, but I rarely remember.
Right.
I have in the past had very that God ordained dreams.
Right.
A few times.
Right.
They were really powerful.
Right.
And they even predictive.
Okay. So she's had very predict
so
God ordained dreams. Come on, Jim. Come on. Right here. Okay. We want to get this on the chat. Yeah.
Do I actually, I mean, is it okay that I don't dream, or should I pursue the Lord to actually make me remember my dream?
This is a good question. Do you want to hear from the Lord? I've had people say, I don't want to hear. I don't want any more dreams. Have you ever said, if anybody said that here, just repent. If you want to hear from the Lord, I want to hear from the Lord. Just go, Jesus, I'm sorry. I said that out of naivety. I didn't realize you were talking to me, and I shut that down. And it was a gift, and I shut it off. You can shut off the gift of hearing from the Holy Spirit. You can shut off the gift of healing. You can shut off all those gifts. And you can shut off the gift of dreams. All right? So let's just put our hands out, and let's just, Father, I just want you to repent in your own heart for anything you've said. Even if you said, I never remember my dreams. I can't remember my dreams. Jesus doesn't talk to me. I just repent for all of that. Anything that you may have said, or Lord, I shut you down. And I repent. Holy Spirit, I shut you off. I shut you up. Oh, I repent. I am sorry. I did not mean that. I repent in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just ask that you will open that gift back up. Yeah. You said in the last days you will pour out your spirit. We will dream dreams. We will have visions. So I want to be a part of that last days thing. Yeah. I want to be effective. I want to be effective. I want to be an effective minister of the gospel in these last days in Jesus' name. Forgive me. I want to be an effective intercessor. Many of our dreams are intercessory dreams. I want to be an effective intercessor. So, Lord, show me what you need to show me, and I repent for ever stopping that flow. I want you to put your hand on your head. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for an open heaven above this group of people who want to be effective. In Jesus' name. Can I just say that a long time ago, and I, it was probably somewhere in history that we made this big mistake. That in the church in general, the church said, nope, the supernatural isn't for us anymore, and we sent it out the door. Well, the New Age picked up that gifting, a perverted gifting, and they went to the wrong source. And so now, I had two conversations, and it's both in my book, where I had these conversations. One, I was just overhearing these two girls talk about their dreams, and they were like, you know, I Googled my dream and I can't get the meaning of it. How would Google know my dream? Right. I was like, this girl's brilliant. And I would have actually got in on that conversation. She didn't know me. It was a little bit across the room. I had two very young grandkids with me. I couldn't do it. But I'm hearing this. And the whole time I'm waiting for some sort of an invitation into that dream. And my only invitation was prayer. Conversation. But what she continued to say is they're like, you know, I don't want to Google it because Google, how can they know my dream? And then, I guess I'm going to have to make an appointment with a psychic. Never even thought of the church. The church has not said, yeah, we're available to do dreams, right? Who's the church? Come on, we got to get better at this. We've got to be the best at this because the church has said, nope, not in general, not us. The church in general, the institutional church said, nope, your dream, either they've said your dreams are the devil or they've said we don't do dreams. That thing ended a long time ago. No.
Do you want to cover nightmares?
We can do that. Do you have another question, or you want to just cover it? Okay.
All
right. What about nightmares? Okay. Then you, God, frighten me with dreams and terrify me through visions. Oh. Right. First time I read that, I was like, oh, really? Yes, he does. Don't you love that Job was such a dreamer? I tell you what, isn't that fantastic? Because that was the first full written scroll they had was Job. And here it was, dreams were so heavily impacting that man's life. So if God will frighten you with dreams, believe me, he will, for a purpose. He doesn't do it. Go back to that one that says, the reckless.
Oh, Job 33.
The lightning bolt one.
Yeah.
In a dream and a vision. God will open your ears and impress you with warnings but to turn you back from something you're planning. How many of you have had a warning dream like that? Oh, my goodness, I was planning something. I better pay attention. Or a reckless choice you're about to make to keep you from an early death. Now, that can be either a death of a relationship, a death of a situation, a death of, I mean, it, don't just take the literal word death as death, but it can be all of those things, everything and above, okay? All right? So, has anybody, now, okay, let me make this one differentiation. Yeah. Okay, now, there are, how many of you have been around a child that has night terrors? Okay, many times a night terror is an actual experience they're having in the spirit realm, and it's not necessarily a dream. You want to differentiate, because that's when people say, I never want to dream again. I mean, they'll make the statement, I'm never going to dream, I don't want my child to dream again. We need to be in authority over the spirits that we have allowed into our home, okay? We need to be cleaning the house, making sure there's no open doors to the enemy. And I'm going to tell the story about a pastor who had a young child who had night terrors. And, of course, he was in there praying every night trying to calm this child down. Well, one night he just finally said, I'm sleeping in there and I'm going to figure this thing out. Goes in there, he sleeps in with the baby. Sure enough, at the same exact time that the baby got up, started screaming. And the pastor looks over and a witch walked through the door. Not in the natural, a witch in the spirit, because they're traveling. If you have something bugging you, like a fly, I had this happen just recently because we had a bunch of witchcraft dreams. I had a fly bugging me. He was flying back and just back and forth. Boom, 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 like hitting the wall. I'm like, uh-uh, you're in the wrong place. Get out in Jesus' name. Lord of the flies, Beelzebub, right? Yeah. He has to go in Jesus' name. And so if something is off kilter in your house, figure that thing out. One day I walked downstairs in my house and I knew there was this man standing there. I couldn't see him in the natural. And I could see him. He was standing like this, and he had really old robes, garb, like warrior garb, but he was all beat up and, you know, like he had been traveling a long ways, these really weird boots. I mean, I saw who he was, kind of like a Nordic guy or a Viking. And he was tall, very tall, and I just said, hey, you're in the wrong place. Here's the door. And I opened the door for him. Don't you ever come back. We'd had some people stay in our house. And I knew where it came from. But you have to pay attention. Everybody, we have to come up. And let me tell you, as the days grow darker, we better get better at this. And we better be discerning. And we better not be thinking, oh, it's just this. Oh, it was just a bug. Oh, it was, don't do it. It will stay. One day I was, and this was a many, many years ago, I was coming down my stairs. At the time we were living in an old Victorian house. It was built in 1869 in Golden, Colorado. And I come down the stairs and I see this whiff of smoke. Well, I had seen this whiff of smoke over and over. And right then, it really aggravated. I was like, because I look and it's gone. And I thought, what was that? And so I got this anger, how many of you have ever had that anger rise up in you and you go, what was that? And I said that. I said, Lord, what was that? And he said, it's only here because you allow it to stay. And man, after that, I was like, got this. I'm not going to allow anything to stay that isn't of, I'll come in many times and I'll say, anything that does not bow its knee to Jesus right now, you have to go in Jesus' name. I am a constant searcher of my house. What's in my house? I'm going to clean my house out again and make sure everything is kosher to the Lord. And that's just, you know what I'm saying, culture. I don't want anything that has a hook on it. We've learned that Hello Kitty. Listen, this idolatry is coming into our nation at a high level. Be careful of the elephants you have in the house, because when we were in India, Ganesh was actually being celebrated, and Ganesh is a elephant head and a body of a boy, and that is Ganesh, and they did Ganesh worship. Ganesh worship was supposed to be, you know, worshiping the power of Ganesh. Well, the whole time we were there during Ganesh worship, which is like 10 or 12 days, the power was off. I mean, we had the most horrific time with power. And right after that, right after that whole celebration, they do this drumming. They start at midnight, and they do this drumming. We had cockroaches come up in our house from underneath. This was our YWAM place we were staying. The cockroaches came up under the ground. I tell you what, it was demonic, but we just... Those cockroaches were dead. They came up and died. It was shocking what happened. We were praying in the name of Jesus. So, and they were like the size of your hand. They were big cockroaches.
Steph, I want to just add something.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so we were at a friend's. We came from Colorado and went to an old friend's house. And we actually slept in his room because it was the bed for two people rather than... I had a terrible dream that night. And Jim was out reading the Bible when I woke up, and I said, oh, I told him the dream, and it was just an awful dream. And I thought, what is wrong with me? Why would I dream this dream? And Jim walked away. He looked at me like, you're a crazy woman. and when I got alone with God, he said, it's the spirit that has been in this house. And you need to pray for this person because he's under that spirit. So it's, you know, because we go when we travel, and you go into different homes, you go into different
hotels,
pray. But it's okay if the Lord gave it because it was a prayer assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while I would have thought, what did I do wrong? Oh, my gosh. You know, fortunately, he spoke to me right away. So it can totally be for intercession for that person, wherever you're going, wherever
right.
you're staying, you know.
Yeah. And everywhere you go, you have authority. We walk in the dominion, the authority. Jesus gave us that, and Adam gave it away, but Jesus gave it back. We have it now. We have that authority that we should be walking in dominion wherever we go. Our footsteps are shod with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can take authority. Okay. So let's go ahead and let's ask for a nightmare dream.
Short one.
A short one. It has to be short. Is it short? Okay, come on, honey. Did you have one? Hopefully. Yeah, let's do one that's really, really scary.
And I'm
going
to get it right back.
Okay.
I had a short one, but I have to go to this one and it's still short.
Okay.
I had this when I was a young girl.
Yes.
Very young.
Good.
And it's probably plagued me.
Okay.
But when I was little, I always played in the creek beds, and I always caught frogs. So I lived in the creek beds. Mm-hmm. And I came out of the creek one day in this dream, and I was drying off my legs with a towel or something. But what gripped me in this dream was as I pulled up my, the towel to dry my legs, it was like my skin rolled back, and there were all these, I hate this still.
It's okay.
Tiny eyes, just eyes covering my legs. And,
Yeah.
So since then, I mean, all... As long as I can remember, I hate holes.
Uh-huh.
I don't like holes. I don't like anything that looks like them.
Right.
So,
okay. Well, we're going to cast the spirit of fear off.
Oh, yeah.
And take dominion. Yeah. So, okay. So I'll repeat the dream this time. So she was in a creek bed, and she came up out of the creek, and she began to dry off her legs with a towel. And when she did... When she did, she pulled up her pant leg, her skin. When she pulled up the towel, her skin came up as well, and her inside was eyes, that you saw eyes everywhere. Okay, small eyes, like 100 eyes or like 10 eyes.
A honeycomb.
Full of eyes. Oh, that's really a good way to put that. Excellent. Okay. All right, Janet, do you have anything?
Not yet.
Okay, let's. Okay. I guess it's up to me. Okay. So, creek bed again. can be a place of the Holy Spirit. And actually, the Lord could have been exposing something because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Were you a Christian as a child? Did you know the things of God or at all?
I love God.
You love God?
I talk to God and I heard God.
Okay, okay.
But I didn't know Jesus as Savior.
Didn't know Jesus as Savior.
But
okay.
I totally talked to God and heard from Him.
Right, okay.
Do you remember if it was your left or right leg?
Oh, it was both.
Okay. See how important it is to ask questions? Because a lot of times you'll miss an important detail like that on both of her legs. Okay.
But in the dream, you were fearful of the eyes.
It was hideous.
They were more demonic eyes?
Well, that was what was funny. I thought they looked like frog eyes, but because I love frogs. I mean, I always had frogs and caught frogs, but they weren't nice for me, initially, I think when I was young, I thought those were frog eyes, but then my emotion wasn't like how I like frogs, because
right.
I like frogs a lot.
Oh, okay.
I'd keep
That's
them.
Important.
I'd keep frogs.
Did you still like frogs after
that? Oh, I've always liked frogs.
But right
still
after
like
that,
frogs.
You were
yeah.
fine with frogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
I'm just wondering if it was an attack from the enemy that you love frogs and he was trying to steal something from you that's always brought you joy.
Precious, yeah. Could possibly be.
That.
Yeah.
I stayed in.
So it didn't affect your everyday mm-hmm. how you did. That's good. When we're kids, we can do things a lot better, I think, than when we're adults. And we're adults, we can really
see
be.
Do
you see in the spirit?
Do you see in the spirit?
I've had visions.
Yeah.
I've had open visions.
Okay.
Jim, maybe we'll keep that mic.
In the creek bed, and she comes up out of the creek bed, okay? Do you have anything else?
Okay, now I got two.
Creek bed that I came out of was right where I grew up in Castle Rock. I mean, I still come off the Castle Rock ramp where I was. It wasn't the normal place I caught frogs. It was kind of far away from
was
where
it your
I caught.
Land?
Oh, no.
It wasn't your parents' land?
Oh, no.
Okay. I just wondered.
Legs
in dreams can represent your strength. It's your walk, your strength. So when we think about it, our skin, you know, we are a spirit in this suit, earth suit, right? So if you pull it up and see what's behind there. Now, I don't believe those eyes because they were bad eyes to
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
It, like you say, it could be the enemy trying to steal the gifting that God has put in her. The gifting is the eyes to see.
Right.
But
the towel at this point was to clean off her legs, and it exposed what.
Oh, the towel. The towel a lot of times can be the servant gift that, you know, Jesus took the towel and.
Oh, and she is a servant.
Yeah, so it's the servant's gift. So when she dried it off, the skin came off and she was able to see behind. The thing I'm really praying and asking is about the why they were scary. I mean, when we see in the spirit, I tell you, when I had that dream 10 years ago, because I saw something very clear, I shook for 3 days because of what I saw coming. So when you see something, it can be very scary,
yeah.
you know. God doesn't, you know, it's frightening us, but it wasn't like, it was like, he showed me that not to scare me, but to say, okay, this is what the enemy has planned. We're going to pray. So if and I'm not sure we have it here at all, but you the towel being the gifting, the servant gifting, pulling the flesh away and seeing the eyes.
Seeing gift. So, you know, when you read Ezekiel, it's scary, some of the stuff he's talking about, the things in the spirit realm. I saw a creature with four heads, you know. I saw, yeah.
When I read in the Word about the one with the eyes,
yeah,
it was like, in fact, it was a beautiful, beautiful ladies' conference. Coral had done a painting of that, and I made myself just dance in front of it because I said, I know I'm not supposed to hate this. Mm-hmm. So I made myself. I mean, I've learned my authority in the Lord, and so I'd taken it against this, but it tries to come, you know, and even cover my body.
Mm-hmm. So there's eyes. When fear is attached, it can definitely steer the ship.
Yeah,
you're right.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of
power. And it's so important to remember it's a spirit of fear,
right.
Okay?
Right.
So we want to right now break that spirit of fear.
And I
want to
ask
that
you,
is
quick,
connected.
Do you have anything else?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Lori?
I really believe she's a seer.
Right, so come on.
Yeah,
come on and pray with
us. I really feel like you're supposed to be.
I feel,
here's the thing. I really feel like the enemy, he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He sees.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she's got a gift.
Right.
God put that in her.
Right.
And she was a young daughter mm-hmm. playing in the creek, and the enemy got a hold of her and scared her
mm-hmm.
and scared the gift and shut it down. Mm-hmm. I believe you're a seer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You know, he will take us out. The enemy will take you out. And he loves to, especially as a child. That's why it's so important that when we get a hold of the, yeah, go ahead and sit down, honey. When we have dreams like this, we write down their children's dreams, and then we begin to give the correct authority to that. So you want to pray the break off the spirit?
Can I just say one?
Oh, yeah.
my mama agreed with my daddy to join the Masonic Lodge. And this is what I felt like Holy Spirit later told me, because even when I was little, I was like almost mad at Mama that she would do that. I didn't know anything. I just knew I knew it wasn't right.
Well, that's so
interesting,
right there.
And my daddy rose to the top because that's who he is. You know, he does the best at
right.
everything. So he became worshipful master.
Right.
But with this dream, I tried to even find, because of the eyes, and because I felt like it opened demonic over our lives that was not to ever be. Hideous demonic.
Mm-hmm.
And it mostly came down in me,
mm-hmm.
Against my family.
Mm.
So anyway, I did call the local chapter to find out, because I thought maybe these eyes were when my father, you know, took the vow, because it's tried to, you know, and even though I renounced, gone mm-hmm. through books,
right?
But and I felt great. A great deal of freedom, but not completely. Not like I, because it feels like there's hindrances to what God's wanted in my
right.
life. Just
right. So let's pray. Let's pray. That's the answer. Just do you have the floor, my dear?
Father, in the name of God, I thank you for unveiling the truth. I thank you that every hidden work of darkness has been exposed. I thank you that you are the Lord of Lords, that every knee bows before you, every spirit will bow and worship you and declare that you are God as they go into the abyss. They have been served notice. Lord, right now I speak life to you. I speak life to you. I break the hold of the enemy off your life. I break the hold of the enemy off your life. I break the hold of the enemy off your life.
Yes.
I break that spirit of fear. I command it to come out right now. Be loosed off and leave this place right now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over my sister. She's
right.
blood washed by the Lamb. The Lamb, blood washed. I break the assignment. I break the assault. I break the physical maladies that have been attached to this thing. I command a reversal right now in the name of Jesus. I command a reversal right now in the name of Jesus. I break the hold. I break the hold. I break the hold. I speak life, 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 life. And I declare a reversal right now in your eyes, your sight, your vision, your giftings. You will live. You shall live and declare the works of the Lord. You shall live and see the mightiness of God, the angels, the glory, the wondrous things. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law by the blood of the Lamb. We break, we sever the bloodline of the occult. We break the line of all the agreement with the enemy through your bloodline. We break it right now. By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, you are healed, healed, healed.
Yes.
I see in your mind, I see in your mind right now, there's. Let's just deal with it. Hallelujah. Come out in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose off her right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, out.
You have to go.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Restore. Fill that in, Lord. Fill that in.
Yes, Lord.
Peace.
Yes, Lord.
Peace.
Love. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 I command all your cells in your body to rejuvenate right now. I see the stress and the weariness that this thing, this lying devil has sowed, and I command it all to be loosed off right now, and a reversal, a reversal. I command your blood to flow perfectly. I command your cells to be rejuvenated perfectly, and I declare that you have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. You know all things by the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, never again, never again. Free, 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 free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes what happens to us is we have an encounter or experience and we begin to accept a lie from the enemy. And what can happen is it can get into our soul. It can take a little root there. And it's in opposition to what she knows Jesus is Lord and Savior. And she knows her Father in heaven is all-powerful. And she knows the Word of God. And she knows that Satan has no real power. But you know what can happen is our emotions can get a hold of a little bit of a lie, okay? This is for all of us. And God has been revealing more and more in these last few years to me that we can loose our soul, and that there's actually a legal transaction. It's very simple to do, and we're just going to do it. We're all going to do this, and I'm going to have you just like repeat if that's okay. I'm just going to have you know there's people in here that you've had. Things you haven't talked about in your life, where you've been a little bit afraid of the enemy. Some of you have been afraid of sickness. God revealed to me early in the meeting, I saw someone with a spirit of infirmity on them. And a spirit of infirmity will visit you with one thing after another after another. And what can happen is you begin to believe a lie that, yes, you know Jesus heals, but somehow you have a problem and it's a lie. And so what can happen is Satan can hook on to a lie.
Right.
If it's in our soul or our emotions, okay? And the only reason I know is I've had to deal with a lot of things in my soul that didn't come in line with what God was saying.
That's right.
And so what has to happen is I have to repent of believing that lie.
That's right.
And that's actually a legal transaction.
Yes.
And when we do it, it's just as simple as it can be, we're going to do it. But what happens is we actually slam the door on the enemy. And we open the door to the Word of God and all the good things that the Word of God has for us. It's just as simple as it can be. So we're going to say, I'm going to have you, and we're all going to say this in case we have any issue. Father, in the name of Jesus,
if in any area
I believed a lie
that conflicts with the Word of God,
I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me.
Fill me with your truth.
I determine in my heart that from this day, I will believe your word in my soul, in my emotions, in my mind. In Jesus' name, I believe the enemy has no authority over me. Because Jesus said so in Luke 10:19. I believe that no spirit of infirmity can affect my body. Because it says that by his stripes I was healed. Father, I stand before you this day. And I declare that I will not believe the lie of the enemy, but I will believe the word of God. In Jesus' name. Now, we've seen people delivered of amazing things, healed of amazing things when they came out of agreement with a lie, or out of agreement with an inner vow, or out of agreement with the pain. And I myself have been deeply set free when God would show me things that I had believed incorrectly. See, because it's not what we say we believe, it's what we believe deep down that causes our life to go sometimes along a wrong path. And so I'm always asking God, show me truth in the inmost parts, not just head knowledge, but deep in my guts. I want to know and believe the word of God is true. And what I've seen is there comes great, great, and I'm feeling led to say royal freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. In Jesus' name. And sometimes when we pray with people, that simple prayer, we have them say that simple prayer, I see this huge release of just complete set free. Completely set free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, I don't
Thank
know who
you,
this
Holly.
Goes to.
Thank
but
you, Holly. Thank you, hon. Don't go unless you go and walk. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Lori. That was right on. You know, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a child of the Most High God. Nothing else has authority in Jesus' name. Jesus has all authority. He can show me things. He can expose things. And I want him to. And I give him that invitation. Jesus, expose it. Now imagine, I just praise the Lord for that. Because that was, thank you, because that was an excellent example of what the Lord wants to expose and the enemy wants to hide. Right? And it came through a child. Do you see how huge that is? A child can see very accurately in the spirit realm. So if you have children around you, listen to what they say. Listen to what they're dreaming, because it is extremely important. So when I first started doing kids and being around kids all the time, I was like, Lord, I never dreamed I would do this. This wasn't really what I planned on. I love teaching adults. You know, I love teaching them all the time. But you know what? His heart is with kids. And so I'm like, okay, I repent. I'll do that. I will do that. And you know what? Doing kids is always hard. It's always a lot of work. It's always like, it always costs money like crazy. But you just do it. You just do it. You go, and people think that children's ministers come free. That's honest to God truth. And so you go, you know, you just go. And you just know Jesus is going to take care of you. Can I say that Jesus has always taken care of me? Because I said yes. If you're working with children right now, I just want to encourage you, because the Lord said to me, he said, Stephanie, if you teach adults, you may, if you're blessed, you may have 10 years of influence in their lives. But if you teach children, you will get the, he said it this way, you will get the 100-year reward. And I said, oh, well, I want that. And so isn't it interesting that the Lord gives you both? You know, it's just like Solomon, he just asked for wisdom. God gave him everything. So you ask what the Lord wants you to do, and he will lead you in what you're supposed to. You say yes to that, and it may not seem good. Maybe you know what? Our nursing homes are a harvest field. I want to tell this story because we heard the story. We didn't really participate in this other than in prayer. That was big participation. We prayed and agreed that this man would be saved. But just as people, when they're getting ready to die, they can see their loved ones around them. Many times they'll see angels, they'll see the loved ones around them. If they know the Lord, they'll see their loved ones, and they actually participate with that to some extent. You know, they're like, ah, I saw my mom, I saw my dad. And it's that's a happy thing. But that can be they're getting ready to go home to the Lord. Well, the same thing can happen on the demonic side, on the evil side, people who don't know the Lord. We heard the story of a man who is 90-something in his 90s, 94 years old or so, living inside of a very safe place in a nursing home or a senior living home, and he was fully inside, so he was surrounded by building and help. So there was no way anybody could break into his room, but he saw, three nights in a row, he called 911 because there were gangs breaking down his door to get him. That is that's what happens. The demonic realm is ready to get you too. You know, if you don't know the Lord, the demons are coming after you. Listen, that is so merciful of the Lord. I believe he got saved. I don't know, but I believe he got saved. We want to have that. We want to have that happen. We want to have those kinds of things so that we can be, as a church, we can be ready to catch that and go, oh, I know what you're seeing. You're seeing the devil. You're seeing the enemy coming after you. And we know the answer. We also had a friend who had atheists who lived down the street from her, and she said, why would God allow these atheists to have horrific nightmares night after night after night? Well, guess why? God's like, I'm going to show you what you're choosing. This is what you chose, and I want you to get out of that, you know. And so I just said, honey, I said, you tell them you have the answer to stop that in Jesus' name. You know, there's no atheists in hell. We have a good friend we're in Colorado. He's actually from Fort Collins, and he went to hell. He died of cholera, went to hell, and he said, first thing I realized, there was no Christians in hell. Man, he was a dyed in the wool atheist. He said, I was a wicked man. And he tells he gave his heart to Jesus as a small child. And so when he headed off to hell, when the demons came and got him and took him to hell, he said, Jesus said to him, you may use my name. So he walked through hell going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then Jesus pulled him out and let him come back to earth to make it right. So, okay. So Jesus will show us horrific things. It's eternity, my friends. It's eternity. No, he wants no one to spend eternity without him. So we want, that's the main goal. Dreams are the best evangelism tool. We had a young man who dreamed that he was, let me tell you the nightmare. Okay, so this man, let me tell you that one first. This man, because people have free will, right? We have free will. This man was a friend of a friend, and I heard the story. Anyway, he was an atheist, didn't believe in God, and his dream was he looks out the front door, and there's a dead tree out in the front yard. I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? A dead tree is a dead person, a dead man walking, not dead in the spirit, dead. Their spirit, his spiritual man was dead. And not loving God, loving the Lord. And so he had a chainsaw in his hand, and he was going to go out and cut down this tree, or tree stump. But when he looked at the tree, he looked down, and the tree roots had formed a pig. And so he's looking down at the tree stump, or the tree roots, and his neighbor comes over and says, hey, I would like, his neighbor that he hated, can I say? His neighbor comes over and he says, I want to give you $1,000 for the roots of this tree, the pig. And the neighbor said, or the man said, no, I'm going to cut this down. So my friend, when she heard the dream, and she's like, I have no idea. She was at the beginning. She was at the beginning of dream interpretation. I want to get this to encourage you, because we're all in some sort of process of learning dreams. Okay, it's a work in progress, and we're all working on it. So don't ever say, "Oh, I won't." You know, don't tell me the dream. I'll never get it, because it's Holy Spirit. One day she was vacuuming, and the Holy Spirit dropped in the meaning, and she went, and she calls her husband, who was one of his best friends. She said, "Honey, I know what that dream is. The man or the pig is the sin life, the sin. The dead tree is this man's life. He's dead in the things of the Lord, and the pig is his sin. And Jesus is the next door neighbor. And Jesus came over and offered $1,000 for the pig, the ranth, the sacrifice. Right? He paid the sacrifice. One more key to that is 1,000 represents 1,000 generations to those who know and love the Lord. Isn't that precious? What a precious gift. So when the husband went to tell this man this dream, he said, he heard the whole thing, and then the interpretation, and he said, "I didn't have that dream." So when you have a dream, it's an invitation. So the other invitation was a young child comes to fire camp, and he dreams that his first thing in the morning, he said, "I had a dream. I dreamed," and this was a pastor's kid. We just assumed he knew the Lord. He said, "I dreamed that I was going around the world in 80 hours, and I was searching for a great treasure." And the teacher says, "Wait, do you have Jesus in your heart?" And he said, "No." And she said, "Well, the great treasure that you're searching for is Jesus." And she said, "Do you want him in your heart?" And he says, "Yes." See the opposite? See what can happen? It can go both ways. It's not up to us. That person has free will. And so 80 is what? Complete new beginning. 8 is the new beginning. So 10 is complete. And so he had a complete new beginning right there with that 80 hours of searching for the great treasure. What a cool dream, right? Praise the Lord. So that's how significant in evangelism a dream is. And I know Janet goes into the jail all the time, and I think she's gone. Oh, good. Okay, goes in. Do you have another salvation dream real quick? Because I think we're kind of close to the end, and I don't want to start anything new. But the salvation dreams are all the time. I mean, you're always calling me like, "Oh, my goodness." Because the first thing that she did was when she started going to the jail was she would go in and she'd say, "Okay, who had a dream last night?" And they began to go, "Wait, she can interpret our dreams." You know, and it all of a sudden opened it up. Guess what? Any age group can do this. We do children all the time, any age in the jail. It doesn't matter what age you are, young, old, middle age, whatever. But make yourself available. If you're standing in the grocery, I've had this happen where I'm standing in the grocery store and somebody will say, "Oh, I had a dream last night," and I'll kind of stick my ear in and see if I can. And then if I can, I will say, "Oh, I know what that is," and it's stunning. So I don't want to go too long. Are we about right at the end? Okay. Yeah, because I know people have to have time to get back. What time does the next service start? Okay, yeah, we better. So, 1:30. Anything else? Did somebody have a question?
I guess if you want to keep your seat.
You have a question?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Somebody from last night. Who dreamed something from last night? Did you have a good dream? Come on, hon.
Oh, Lori did too. Wow.
Lori. Oh, come here, hon. Do you feel like you should share it? Okay.
It's not about me, it's actually about her husband.
Well, okay, now...
I'm glad she knows that.
Now,
why you wanted that done.
Now remember, right off the bat, when it's a person, it's usually representative. Your pastor can show up in your dream, and it can be Jesus. That can represent Jesus.
Well, it can be him. The meaning of the name of the person,
right,
or what the person represents to you.
Right.
So, you know, when you see a person in the dream, it's not, most likely, it's not even about them.
Right.
But
you really feel this is about him. Okay.
But
right.
I haven't and got, so really got the interpretation.
It's really important.
It's not a bad dream.
We say this right
think.
Off the bat because it's really important that if you have a dream about somebody else, don't immediately run out and say, you know, especially if it's scary or bad or anything that. We want to, you know.
One other really quick thing I want to preface. Amy, it's just like prophecy, to comfort, to exhort, and to edify the person. We never come in with, even if I've had, like the one in that house, a terrible dream, saw the spirit ruling in the house, okay? I didn't go to that person and say, this spirit is over your house. You know, you need to repent right now. We do not do that.
No,
we pray.
Never.
And if God gives us a word or something, that's one thing. But this is the same as prophecy.
Yes.
Okay? Because we want to be really careful not to condemn people, even if we think we have the word. You know, we really have to be careful about that.
Now, can I say that if there's a warning dream or something like that, use extreme caution, and also there may be some, this may be something that needs to go to leadership instead of any person that might be offended by it or hurt by it or not know, or, you know, we want to be so careful. Talk, pray, don't just jump, because it can really cause damage. You don't want any of that. Okay.
Well, so I asked the Lord if I was supposed to give it.
Yeah.
I kind of know. Well, since she's the one who asked.
Yeah. Mic. Yeah. You have. We have your permission.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
So,
I hope, John. Hope we have your. But we're going to assume right off the bat that you're going to represent something, John. Okay.
So in the dream.
Oh, Jay.
Jay. No, it's John.
John.
It's John. Yeah. Oh. So in the dream.
Oh.
So
Oh, this is good already. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so in the dream, there are two or three people with me whose faces I didn't see. So they could be angels. They could be Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because I had a good feeling. And what we're trying to do is, John is sitting in a chair in the center, and we're outdoors. And we are, and this is the word that the Lord, that I really remembered, is covering. We had to cover. We were to cover. So we're putting, you know, that white plastic they make tents out of and stuff. Somebody had a big piece, one of these people, and they put big pieces around. And then we were trying to cover the top, and we were all getting different pieces and putting them together and covering him.
You're covering
and,
John.
And he's smiling, and we're feeling good about this. And I wake up. But it was so real that I really thought John was in the room.
Wow.
I looked around for John. I'm like, oh, wait, that was a dream.
Okay, and you were covering with white. Like, it seemed
white.
Like plastic.
Heavy, a heavy coating.
Oh!
Yeah. I know. I thought
it'd be a good dream. Okay. Okay, just on, boy, just what I got right there was, John, I think you represent Jesus in this. You're in the center of this camp and what we're doing right here. And he's being covered by the tent of meeting. Mm-hmm. We're the dwelling place of the Most High God. And we are just like, we are like the flesh covering, you know. We are like the ones who say, Jesus, we want you in the center of this. We want you to dwell here. And we just say, you know, we just cover this whole thing with the presence of your presence, Lord. That's so precious, because I'm actually studying the tent of meeting right now, and it was white, which is purity. Mm-hmm. The things, and that you said it was heavy duty, like tent.
And everybody brought a piece.
And everybody brought a piece. Oh,
that was all right.
So J names typically, you want to be really careful with J names, because that could be Jesus every time. That's what she said, J, and I went, oh. Because we love it when Jesus shows up in a dream. That's so much fun. And you'll show up like somebody you know. Because if Jesus actually showed up, you may or may not recognize him, right? If Jesus shows up as your best friend, Jesus may show up as your best friend, because he is your best friend. The neighbor of that dream I just told you was Jesus, because mm-hmm. Jesus is closer than a brother. He's the best neighbor we could ever have.
The guy hated him, and he wouldn't.
And the guy hated him, yeah. So, and that, I mean, that was real telling of the man's soul, so right there. Mm-hmm. So anything else on that? I think that was brilliant dream. Brilliant.
That's a good word.
So keep that in mind. You guys are the dwelling place of the Most High God, And we've put Jesus in the center, and we all have a piece of that, and it's the tabernacle. Praise
not
the Lord.
To say we can't pray for John and keep him covered.
And keep him covered. Exactly.
We want to do that too. Yeah,
Amen.
He wants the prayer. Yeah.
Amen.
We'll take it both.
We just bless him right now. That's such a good dream. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we'll stop there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do more tomorrow.
We will
right?
do more. Yeah, we love to demonstrate because this is how we learn. Can we say that it's so important that we get a hold of this as the church and that we get good at it? And that we practice. So the key to practice is finding a friend that you trust that will look for a redemptive word in everything. I hope we didn't scare anybody with any of the interpretation because that's not the goal. The goal is to get to look through it through Jesus' eyes. And when he gives us a dream, he loves us so much. And that's what we want to portray. And so when we're looking, if I can't say something good about a dream, I'll keep it quiet. I won't say a word. And then we'll do them. There's times where we'll tell if the dream is a warning or something. We'll just pull the person aside and we'll do it later, you know, quietly, because we don't want to embarrass anybody or hurt anybody or drive them away. We want them to come to Jesus and come close. And that we have to be safe. So we as believers really have to be the safe place where the people can run to, right? The righteous will run to us, but also the unbelievers will run to us because of we want to be the safe tower. We want to be part of that safe tower that Jesus is. So, all right. Any other quick thoughts before we close? John, Jim. Another J name. Yeah.
I got a verse from the Lord for this meeting and for the whole weekend. And I think it's really interesting. It's found in Malachi 3:16 and 17. And it reads, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him.
That's so good. Praise the Lord.